5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy Sunday, Croc Nation. This is your favorite survivorship bus driver, Dr. Tommy Anelli. On my left, Angel Santana, Have Faith, Let It Begin. Hi, Angel.
Well, hello. I feel like I haven't seen you in a long time.
I'm going to kind of slow things down today. Ooh. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful new podcast. And to let the listeners know, you guys know we just recently had a board meeting. You heard our podcast on our new Croc mantras. Rod and I have been working very diligently along with Angel to try to change the website up a little bit to make it more reflective of the directions that we're going. This year, Angel, has been one big petri dish. It's been a huge science fair experiment, and it's going wonderfully. Croc Nation, we're rounding the corner of our first year, and I would like to think learning a lot, getting better, I hope, at what we're doing.
Definitely.
Serving you more appropriately, more deeply, with more pertinent information and things that you guys need for your toolbox. And today's a reflection of those changes, Angel.
Okay.
So what we're going to do, Croc Nation, is we're going to be easing into a structure where we'll still be doing the podcast, but the podcast will also be available simultaneously on YouTube. And we're going to get more toward teaching. We're going to become more of a course building podcast to give you guys the information you need and to be able to go to it whenever you want, whether it's past episodes or new episodes. These modules will build on each other and build on our four pillars. And that's the thought process. And today we're going to be doing the first of a two-part series on thyroid cancer, one of my personal interests and one of my personal, I would say, areas of expertise.
And let me tell you, it's a huge, a very common thing. I have a lot of friends recently diagnosed, you know, with a thyroid condition or anything like that. So I'm excited to hear more about it because I would like to know more.
Yeah, it's a kind of an odd thing for a radiation oncologist to be involved with thyroid cancer. Back in the day, maybe 30 years ago, when I first began practice up here in the Hudson Valley, I had an associate who had trained in Canada. And in Canada, the radiation oncologist gave the radioactive iodine pills for the thyroid cancer, which I had never been trained in, but he trained me. And then he moved on, you know, to a different circumstance and literally left me holding the entire thyroid practice. And over the last 30 years, that's been a particular interest of mine. I've been nourishing it. We have some great professionals here in our hospital, in our medical center. We have one of the greatest nuclear medicine departments, and my friend Mark O'Brien and his crew and our crew here, our nurses here, serving our thyroid cancer community. So today we're going to start part one of thyroid cancer and talk exactly about what is thyroid cancer, what kind of thyroid cancer we're going to be talking about, because there's many. And in addition, we will be starting with some of the introductory subtopics today, and then we'll get more into the nitty gritty on the next podcast. So thyroid cancer could be one of many things. So what is the thyroid gland itself? Where is it? What does it do? So most people know that the thyroid gland is in the neck. What some people know is the thyroid gland actually is shaped like a butterfly. So you have the two wings on each side of your neck, and then there's a small little piece of tissue connecting the two called the isthmus. And this kind of gland, we call it one of the, our metabolic gland, the gland that kind of sets our internal thermostat, is basically right there. But it doesn't just make thyroid hormone, make that metabolic enzyme or metabolic protein, I should say. It does more than that. There are four small little glands that attach to it, kind of like those special fish that attach to those big whales and sharks. Those are called the parathyroid glands, and they do something completely different. And what they do is they control and regulate our calcium metabolism. In addition, the thyroid gland can have what we call a well-differentiated type of cancer, which is a papillary cancer or a follicular cancer, or it could produce a more aggressive or anaplastic carcinoma, an anaplastic thyroid cancer, or a poorly differentiated thyroid cancer. And there's not many other examples in the field of oncology that have such a disparate prognosis as well-differentiated thyroid cancer and anaplastic thyroid cancer. So anaplastic thyroid cancer is a very aggressive type of cancer. Some people feel maybe the most aggressive cancer that a person can get. And on the other hand of the spectrum, the subject that we're going to be discussing, well-differentiated thyroid cancer, is the opposite. It's actually disrespectful for me to say if you had to pick a cancer, you would pick well-differentiated thyroid cancer. But I will say that it is a cancer. And one of the reasons I like it so much and maybe gravitated toward it is quote unquote happy. Most people do very well. Most people have no problems. And I've been following people yearly for 30 years and growing old with them. And it's just been wonderful. And certainly something to discuss and to give you guys hope. But on the other hand, we never want to be lulled into a false sense of complacency, because even well-differentiated thyroid cancer can do bad things. And we're going to be talking about that as well. So we know what the thyroid gland does. We know where the thyroid gland sits. So what does this have to do with you guys? So if you've already been diagnosed with thyroid cancer, then you're in the right spot. If you have not, or if you're one of the caretakers or friends or family members of one of our survivors, our thyroid survivors, and you're just kind of shaving or you're walking around and you're scratching your neck and all of a sudden you feel a little lump in your neck, that's usually what's called the thyroid nodule. So we're going to start our discussion even before we get to thyroid cancer by talking about thyroid nodules. So a thyroid nodule is basically a small little cyst or abnormality, or we call it a little mass that is abnormal. So 99% of the time, so the good news is that most thyroid nodules are benign. There seems to be a magic number, and that magic number is 1 centimeter, where anything below 1 centimeter, you do nothing, and anything more than 1 centimeter, you go toward biopsy. But we're getting a little bit of we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. So after the nodule is found, mostly found, believe it or not, not so much by oncologists or even by your primary care physician or your internist, more often than not, these nodules are found by gynecologists. So women have most of the thyroid nodules, and their gynecologists are very, very good at neck examinations, and they tend to find a lot of thyroid nodules. So what do we do? So say you get your shaving and you feel this nodule. I don't want you to panic. I don't want you to freak out. I just want you to stay calm and go to your doctor. Most likely the first thing they'll do is examine you. And the second thing they'll do is they'll do an ultrasound. If the ultrasound configuration is that of a simple cyst or something, what is a colloid nodule or something extraordinarily not worrisome, then they'll probably do nothing and just repeat the ultrasound in a year and you don't have a problem. If the cyst or the nodule is more complex or heterogeneous, meaning it has different looks to it, some of it might be cystic, some of it might be solid, or has unclear margins and it's greater than a centimeter, then most likely that will lead to what's called a biopsy. Again, don't panic, don't worry. A biopsy of the thyroid is very accessible, easy to do. And even me, the biggest baby in the world when it comes to needles, can very easily have a thyroid biopsy without issue. It's usually done with an ultrasound guidance, so the doctor knows exactly where to put the needle, and you should be able to get a result from that pretty quickly. The other thing we have to talk about is we have to talk about what happens after that sample is viewed under a microscope. And someone says, you know what, this really isn't looking too pretty. this doesn't have the characteristics of a benign situation. They might send out some genetics, which we'll be talking about in a second. So we might want to consider taking this out. So still at that point, I don't want you guys to worry. What I'd like to educate you on is I want you to be knowledgeable and ask your doctors to make sure before they send you to a surgeon to do, you know, to do extensive surgery on you. I want you first to ask them about the genetics, have them run some genetic markers on that sample. There's a couple of two markers in particular that are well thought of, and I'll tell you why they do them. One is called a BRAF, and one is called a RET, or a PTC, genetic sampling. Many people believe, I think the consensus belief is that if a biopsy is BRAF positive, more than likely this has a good chance of being a cancer. So that's a great amount of information. That's an important thing to know, because if I was told I had a BRAF positive biopsy, I would very much consider having surgery. Now, the type of surgery you're going to need is going to be called a total thyroidectomy. Now, many people go in and have sequential thyroidectomies. In plain English, sequential thyroidectomies means that the surgeon goes in, takes half of the gland out, looks at everything under the microscope, and if they feel there's thyroid cancer, they might have to go back in and do the other side at a different date. I'm not a fan of that. I would rather be very sure of what you have. Many times surgeons, it's not their fault. They get a little, fooled angel. They would get fooled and think, you know, they get the, what we call the wet biopsy, or we would just call it the frozen section at the time of when the patient's under anesthesia. The frozen section will be negative, and then the final pathology actually comes back positive. So nobody wants to have two surgeries if they don't have to. But it's definitely something that might happen to you. I hope it doesn't, but that's certainly a possibility. If you do get diagnosed with thyroid cancer on the biopsy, whether it's a straight out positive biopsy, or if it's a genetically unfavorable biopsy, like a BRAF positive biopsy, and surgery is coming up next for you, I have to bring up something that's a little uncomfortable, and that's the 800-pound gorilla, and that's the following statement. You need to be careful and pick your surgeon extraordinarily. You have to be very decisive, and you have to be very, very picky on who you choose to do your surgery. Now, a surgeon historically, and this is very unfair to surgeons because there are many fun and wonderful and caring and considerate and compassionate surgeons, but the general conception of a surgeon is a very detached, very blunt and to the point type of person. Now, your surgeon doesn't have to be your best friend. Your surgeon doesn't have to be on your bowling team, but your surgeon has to be good at what they do. We've actually done a study here in our institution, confirming my suspicion that patients that go to surgeons that specifically specialize in doing thyroid surgeries or endocrine surgeries, their patients have a much better outcome than your general surgeon. So say your general surgeon saved your life and did your appendix at 3 o'clock in the morning when you were 15 years old, and then, you know, drained an abscess and did something else for you and took out your gallbladder, and you have a really great relationship with them. Guess what? That doesn't mean that he or she has to do your thyroid surgery. I much rather would have to have you guys see somebody who strictly specializes in that endeavor. And anytime any of you guys in the Croc Nation ever have a question or need advocacy or advice, you know, I implore you to reach out to Angel and myself. And it may take us a day or so, but we promise we will personally get back to you and help you, guide you, and give you some recommendations if you feel that you're lost and you're not getting anywhere. So we're more than happy to do that. So I think I made my point, Angel, about the surgeon being really important, because in the thyroid bed, in the thyroid region, there's some really important things in your neck. So we all know about those big blood vessels that we just got done with Halloween. So everyone saw their slasher movies and, you know, the bad guy, what a Chucky or, you know, Freddy Krueger or Michael, Michael Myers, you know, they get this big butcher knife and they cut everybody's neck and you'll have all the blood. The blood is coming from these big vessels like the carotid artery and the jugular vein or whatever. So number one, your surgeon better know where those big vessels are. Number two is you want that the surgeon to take out your thyroid, but you don't want them to take out your parathyroid glands. Remember those two, those four little fish that kind of are sticking to the big whale's body. Those parathyroid glands, they control your calcium metabolism. You don't want them being messed with because you don't want to have all of these symptoms of having low calcium and having to take calcium supplementation for the rest of your life. And probably the most worrisome, troublesome, certainly concerning side effects from thyroid surgery is if your surgeon breaches or cuts or irritates or inflames what's called the recurrent laryngeal nerve. So there's two nerves, one on each side, that basically come back around into the neck and they innervate the larynx. So our speech, how we talk. And when a person has that cut, now sometimes there's no other choice but to cut it. So if you have a very aggressive and advanced thyroid cancer and the cancer has actually embedded itself into this nerve, then after surgery, you should expect to have a hoarse voice and your surgeon, if they're worth their salt, is going to tell you that before they ever cut you, because nobody, no doctor wants their patients to be surprised with an outcome. So those recurrent laryngeal nerves, when I have a patient come in with a very early stage cancer and they can't talk or they have a very, very hoarse voice, it's because that recurrent laryngeal nerve has been cut. So those are things that I want you guys to talk to your surgeon about, see if they do any nerve stimulation during the operation so they could identify the nerve and stay away from it. Those are things you have to be really, really careful about. So you go into the hospital, you're greeted by our hospital greeters, you go into the surgical suite and you get prepped for surgery, you've had your pre-surgical testing, you've picked your surgeon, you know exactly who you want, and now it's time to actually have your surgery. So the anesthesiologist sees you, they assess you, they choose the type of anesthesia you're going to have, and they say goodnight, and they give you your happy juice, and you go to sleep. And a couple of hours later, you wake up and you have this big gauze on your neck and everything went great. The surgeon comes in and says, "Hey, Susie, great news. We got everything. Everything looks great. The tumor looks confined. Everything is beautiful. Now we want you to go to see Dr. Iannelli because he wants to talk to you about what to do next." And that's what we're going to be talking about in the next episode. But to give you a little bit of a teaser, because we're hoping you guys will listen to both of these podcasts in sequence, is that there are prognosticators that will tell me who needs further therapy and who needs to be left alone. And some of these are going to be related to the histology of the tumor, what the tumor looks like under the microscope, what type of tumor it is, whether there are lymph nodes involved, whether there's any invasion into the lymphatics or into the nerve sheaths, whether there's spread outside of the thyroid gland, whether it's a big tumor or a small tumor or one tumor or multiple tumors, how old you are, and what your gender is. So Croc Nation, next session, we're going to be talking about prognosticators and the management of local well-differentiated thyroid cancer, more advanced well-differentiated thyroid cancer, and look at future directions on how to help those of you who have metastatic or expressive spread of the tumor into other sites of the body. Angel, any thoughts about our subject today?
I think your subject was good. I do have a question.
Yes.
For those people that may not have that in-house, like you and I do, where we know all the surgeons here, you know, I mean, I don't know if this is a proper question, but, you know, you say you're looking for a surgeon. Maybe it's, you know, where do you start? Like, you know, you don't know where to look for a surgeon, right? For me, I know that when I didn't have an idea where to start, I went through my insurance, you know, or I went into a doctor, some type of a doctor referral line, because it's hard to find a surgeon that you can trust. Hopefully you have the relationship with your doctor that he or she can provide a referral of who he or she believes is a good surgeon.
Yeah, I think you answered your own question. I mean, let's face it. We are all in the dark when it comes to going to see doctors. Even doctors don't know what doctors to go to if they're going to a doctor who has a different specialty. So how do we find out who's the right person? So my first bit of advice for everyone is I want you to have a primary care physician that you have a great relationship with. I don't want you to be going to to your generalist or your internist and they don't have time for you, or they spend 30 seconds with you, or they don't know who you are. They don't know who your favorite, what your favorite color is. You know, if that's the case, then you have the wrong doctor. The goal of your primary care doctor is they need to know everything about you. They need to know your favorite color. They have to know what kind of gum you chew. They have to really know your habits, your bad habits, and they have to be able to read you, because that's what their job is. As a specialist, my job is much different. I don't really need all those things. I happen to do them because I enjoy it, and I think it rounds out me as a doctor better. But specialists are specialists. But the primary care doctor should know your mother. They should know your father. They should know your kids. And if you run into a problem, they should be your resource for referral. Number two is that I noticed that a lot of people don't have that relationship with a primary care doctor. Many people that we're speaking to today might not even have a doctor that they go to. They might use their UrgyCare as their doctor. And if that's the case, I'm also a big advocate of self-advocacy. Let's face it, who is gonna watch out for you more than you, right? Nobody. So there are groups out there. There are, but I don't want you just to go to a random thyroid cancer, social media site or forum or whatever, or post, because what do these people know? They might be blowing smoke, if you know what I'm saying. But rather from a more justified or recognized society, like the American Thyroid Association, things like that. The other thing is you could definitely find out areas where there are hospitals that have points of excellence. I'd like to think that our center here at Garnet Medical Center is site of excellence for thyroid cancer. We have excellent surgeons. I'd like to think that, my people here on the nuclear side are awesome. Endocrinology is awesome here. So you can do it that way as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. So Angel, as I promised everybody, we're going to get more exact to the point. We're going to try to keep these podcasts a bit on the shorter side, but hopefully still have the same level of information for y'all. My gratitude exercises, Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. Thank you for everything.
As always, a pleasure.
Rod Freeman, thank you from all of us, Small Biz Up. I've been really getting a good view into what you do for small businesses, because in a way, our Croc Survivorship group is a small business. I mean, we don't profit from it. Every cent we get goes back to you guys, but at the same time, it's still considered a business. So Rod, watching you work, watching you do your magic. Angel, you're going to really love the direction that that Rod's taking us in.
I'm excited.
Yep. Michael John Benzea, Charlotte Larson, thank you for your support, your love, and your belief in us. And also, on behalf of the board of directors, Angel Santana, I just want to take a moment and end this podcast as I end every podcast. We wish you, truly, from the bottom of our hearts, we wish you peace, happiness, love, joy, and of course, a long, healthy, happy, cancer-free life. God be with you. God love you. God stay with you. Peace.